Our dear Lord said, I am meek and humble of heart. That word heart has such beautiful meaning in our English language. It is an image of love, and so we think of like Valentine's Day, and we use terms like dear heart or sweetheart. We use the word heart in a sense of encouragement, like take heart, put your heart into it. The heart can also be something of great generosity, like a big-hearted person. Interestingly, the word heart in Latin is the word cor, C-O-R. But from that, we derive courage, also encourage. So we think of then of a courageous person having what one could call a brave heart, like William Wallace, the great Scotsman, or the lion-hearted, like King Richard II of England. We could always say that the person who has great courage also encourages others to take heart. Of course, then, the word heart can be used in a sorrowful sense. So we have terms like being broken-hearted or heavy-hearted. So the word heart conveys all of these different images. For the Jewish people, this was true, and for them, they used the word heart to really capture like we would use the word soul. So the heart was the core of the person. It was the center of emotion. We read in the Psalms of how God speaks to us in the depths of our heart, or the Lord knows us in the depths of our heart. We'll put it all together, and we see how beautiful then the image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus is, that He truly is that meek and humble of heart. Jesus, true God, became also true man. So that infinite love of God is perfectly revealed through our Savior. His heart, then, becomes a very simple, powerful way to show that love of God to us. Therefore, devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is so beautiful in our Catholic tradition. Jesus does say that He is meek and humble of heart. Humble first in the sense that He came to do His Father's will, not to have a selfishness, but really to have that love of self-giving, that love of self-sacrificing. He is meek in the sense of having self-mastery. So real love doesn't give into excess, it doesn't give into defect, but rather our Lord's love is a self-controlled love. With that humble, meek heart, we read in the Gospels how His heart was moved with compassion as He looked upon the sick, or those who were the sorrowful, those who were discouraged, those who were rejected. And we could go on. Notice, too, that our Lord, with this meekness of heart, never just retaliates, in a sense, that He never loses that self-control because of His love. So even in the time of the Passion, when our Lord is unjustly condemned, He doesn't return insult for insult. He doesn't respond with hatred. His love is greater than that. His love conquers that injustice, that hatred. So the image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus helps us, poor, simple little ones, as we hear in the Gospel, to appreciate the great love of God for each one of us. For this to happen, though, you and I have to come. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened." That means we take time to pray. How else can we really have our heart united with the heart of Christ? Archbishop Fulton Sheen had as his motto, cor ad cor locutor, heart speaking to heart. Here in our prayer, in that quiet time, we can say, of course, our normal, regular prayers, that's good, or the rosary, that's good. But we also need to just share our life, to allow our hearts speak to our Lord, to pray for our loved ones, to pray about being perhaps the faithful spouse or the faithful parent, to being the good, holy Christian man or woman that we're called to be. But we just share our life with Christ. This is so important that we need to just allow ourselves to talk with Him and then in quiet to listen. Once St. John Vianney, the great saint of the mid-1800s, the patron saint of parish priests, noticed in his little church, his village church of Ars, how this one man would come in each day and he would just spend time quietly sitting in the pew, gazing at the tabernacle. Well, once St. John just asked him, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Well, I just look at my friend, and my friend looks back at me." That's the heart speaking to the heart. But because of that communication, then, we can take the yoke upon our shoulders. Now, the yoke, of course, was that contraption, that device by which two oxen were linked together so they could pull a plow. This is the time before horses were plowing. Well, the oxen had to have a yoke that was made specifically for it so that it wouldn't cause chafing or bruising or some kind of wear and tear on the hide. So Joseph the carpenter probably made quite a few yoke for farmers during his life. But remember this, that it's not just us alone carrying the yoke. Christ is with us. So when Jesus says, "My yoke is easy, my burden light," He isn't saying, "Go do it alone." He's saying, "I'll be with you. I'll be walking with you as you plow ahead in this field of life." So even though life may be normal at times, we give thanks to God and we know His presence who is with us and we rejoice in His blessings. When we hit, though, the tough times, like in the idea of plowing, hitting the heavy root, or maybe it's the rock, and life seems so difficult, so burdensome, we don't get discouraged. We know Christ is with us. Christ will be with us to get us through that tough time, to get us through the time of sorrow, the time of mourning, the time of sacrifice. This is how we live our life. So with that, the burden doesn't go away, but it does become light in the sense that it's out of love. Even when we share the burden of someone else, someone we love, like caring for an elderly person or someone who's sick, someone who needs some other kind of help. Yes, that can be a heavy burden in life, but if it's done out of love, it becomes light. If it's done knowing that Christ is with us, it becomes light. This is how we're called to live our life. We do have to be on guard, though, especially in our world today, that we don't forget about Christ and yoke ourselves to something else. If we yoke ourselves to perhaps another person who's going to control our life, or yoke ourselves to some kind of a material or, let's say, work-related or position-related role in life or a goal, if we yoke ourselves to some kind of a comfort, drugs, alcohol, food, whatever it may be, if we yoke ourselves to some kind of a sin, we're going to feel the burden. And when we get stuck in life, we will know we're alone. And that's when the discouragement and the hopelessness sets in. This is when we realize the yoke of Christ that unites us in His love gives us freedom. The yoke to anything else makes us a slave. So we always have to be on guard. And this is why each day we come to unite our heart with our Lord and then to be mindful that we are yoked with Him as we carry on our journey of life. I think of a great saint who lived in the mid-1500s. He was born in 1550 in northern Italy. His name is St. Camillus de Lillis, sort of a funny name. But he was a mercenary soldier as a young man, fought in the Venetian city-state army. He was wounded in battle, and that's what ended his career. But during his time as a mercenary, he knew great violence. He also became addicted to gambling and also alcohol. When he left the army because of his disability, he was penniless, broke, traveled to Rome, and then he realized something had to change in his life. He was inspired by another great reforming saint at the time, Saint Philip Neri. And so Saint Camillus decided to help others. So he went to the hospital to help take care of the sick. And from that work grew the formation of a little community, which we know today as the Order of St. Camillus, or the Ministers of the Sick. And this little community of brothers, as well as priests eventually, did care for those in the hospital. They even went to the front lines of battle. On their cassocks, they wore a big red cross. And just as an aside, Florence Nightingale took that for the founding of the Red Cross. But St. Camillus continued his work. He stayed in Rome. And once during a time of the plague, he was feeling just so overwhelmed. He was praying in their chapel, the Church of St. Mary Magdalene in Rome. There he was kneeling before the tabernacle, and there was a picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus there. And he was just pouring out his soul. He just felt so overwhelmed by this burden of caring for the sick, not having enough resources, being faced with a work that never seemed to end. And Jesus came alive, and our Lord was holding his heart inflamed with love. And our Lord said to St. Camillus, "Do not be discouraged, my faint-hearted son. Continue the work you have begun. You will succeed because it is my work." With that, St. Camillus received this tremendous refreshment of grace, and he continued on. But my brothers and sisters, we all go through it at times. So the key here is that I can only encourage you to have a devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. This is part of our beautiful Catholic devotions. We have our little shrine here in church devoted to the Sacred Heart. I encourage you in your home, have an image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Never forget, too, that St. Mary Margaret Alacoque, who had a vision of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, received the promise that anyone who has this devotion, keeps the 9 first Fridays, goes to communion, goes to confession, will never be wanting for the graces needed for salvation. Take time, then, each day, to look to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Unite your heart with His in love. Share your burden, your yoke, with Him in love. Keep in mind, always, the beautiful words, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." May God bless you.